morning, everyone. We will pray, and then we'll turn to God's Word. Father, we again thank you for today. Thank you for life, for strength, and for health. And Father, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to be here this morning to fellowship with you, with one another, and your Word. And we pray your blessing upon us, Lord. And we look to you as we read your Word, that you would take the things of God and make them very real to each heart this morning. And through the Lord Jesus we ask and we give you thanks. Amen. Good. Today we will look at a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. And while you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, since I don't know too many of you, I've got some new friends here today, maybe some older ones, but my name is Brian. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, and by God's grace we came to Ireland, my family and I, in 1995, so praise the Lord, we've been here for about 17 years now, and spent a bit of time in Newbridge, and then out in Shannon, and now we're back in Newbridge again. But I was born in 1955. I was raised a Catholic. I made five of the seven sacraments, went to Catholic school, and raised in the 1960s, and I guess hitting the teenage years in the late 1960s, I in the midst of so much confusion and so many other things that were happening in life at the time, I kind of swallowed whole that new philosophy of drugs and rock and roll and having a self-destructive lifestyle. And by God's grace, when I was 19, He brought Christians into my life that having not only heard the gospel, but seeing that the gospel is something that is living and active, that it changes lives, it turns lives upside down, it makes men and women new. And when I saw that, it had such an impact on me that by God's grace, He revealed the Lord Jesus to me, and I called upon Him and was saved when I was 19. And I think I was saved not only spiritually, but physically, because I was, again, on a self-destructive course with all kinds of drugs and all the way up to heroin. And I don't say that to shock you, but maybe just to encourage all of us here that God is real, that God loves us, that His Word truly is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if any man be in Christ, he truly is a new creature. But again, today, I'd like us to look at 1 Peter in chapter 1. I'm going to read from verses 23 to 25. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. When I read, I hope maybe others as well, but when we read 1 and 2 Peter, maybe our minds go back a bit to in the Gospel of Luke, where Peter thought he was so strong. He thought he was going to stand where others would fall. But it was then that the Lord said to him something like, Simon, Simon, you know, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And when you are converted or when you are turned about, strengthen your brethren. And I can't help but to think that when we read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, perhaps Peter, it's in his mind that he's fulfilling that word, that commission that the Lord gave to him, that when he turned about, when he rose from that failure by God's grace, that he in turn would use that to strengthen that Brad can strengthen the Christians, and even to you and me seated here this morning. And as Peter was writing these things, maybe I'm just full of imagination here, but I can't help but to think that maybe his mind went back to a time when the multitudes and the crowds were pressing in upon the Lord to hear the word of the Lord. And I guess as the Lord and the jostle and was pressing upon him, the remedy was made of having a boat. And the Lord sat in a boat and sat off the shore a wee bit and spoke to the people. And maybe you remember what the Lord spoke at that time to the people. And he said, "A sower went forth to sow. A sower went forth to sow." And the Lord spoke about that parable of the seed and the seed falling in various conditions and kinds of soil. And perhaps Peter thinking back there when the Lord Jesus was on that boat and said, "A sower went forth to sow." And Peter writing here, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And here Peter's giving us a taste that there's something unique about the word of God, something powerful, what it is and what it can do. And he says in verse 23 that this word of God, that it's incorruptible and that it lives and it abides forever. Being incorruptible means it's not liable to decay. That it's living, it's not static. When we open our Bibles here this morning and at other times, we're not reading dry ink on white pages or whatever it might be, but God's Word is living and it's sharper and it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Lord will perform His Word wherever unto He sends it. Even this morning where we're seated here in Ballyroan this morning, and the Word of God, He says, abides forever. It's eternal. The Lord Jesus said that heaven and earth pass away, my word will never pass away. It kind of leads into the next verse. In verse 24, it says, "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever." I think it was yesterday, my wife Brenda, the phone went off and she had a text, and it was from Wesley. And what's the theme? So we could arrange the music. And I said yesterday, I said, "I don't know." And Brenda says, "I can't tell him that." So not at all. You know, when it comes to speaking the word of the Lord, I guess most preachers and teachers, we always have a word. There's always a word from God that we can share and preach or teach. But beyond that, we don't want just a word. We want the word. What is the word for the saints in Ballyroan on October 21st on this Sunday? And I'm kind of wrestling and I think, you know, should I speak about this or should I speak about the other? And I think maybe Brenda had asked me again, and I still didn't know what the word was, what to share with you this morning. And then the penny kind of dropped in the back of my mind. I'd spoken on these things in the past, this passage, and it came to my mind because I was reminded of this verse 24 here, that Peter's using a quote in Isaiah in chapter 40, that my problem and the problem of other teachers is not unique to us, but it happens to, I guess, all of us that handle God's Word. What is the Word? What is the Word to share or to speak, to encourage or to exhort the people on this given time? And my mind went back to this message that we're looking at today, and this quote, because it also happened, I guess, to Isaiah and to John the Baptist. To Isaiah, and then as the word came to him in Isaiah 40 verse 6, it said, "The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry?" And I think it was a prophecy of John the Baptist, perhaps, here. But those individuals also had the problem. The word came to preach or to teach or to cry out. But what do I preach? What do I teach? What do I cry out? And the answer back so long ago is the same answer that I've been given today for all of us here. voice said to cry out, "What shall I cry?" That all flesh is grass, and all the loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Some of my earliest memories growing up in Pennsylvania, being a little boy, was my grandmother. We called her Grandmom. And both my parents worked, and Grandmom, she kind of raised me. And we were very close, I guess, grandparents. I haven't crossed that threshold yet, but grandparents can have a special boy or a special granddaughter. And I was that for Grandma. And some of my earliest memories, I remember when she would visit us in Levittown in Pennsylvania, she would sleep in my room, and I would kind of wake up, and there would be Grandma in the other room, and she would sit up and tell me how to stretch, and we would stretch, and I was maybe 3, 4, or 5. And again, some of my earliest memories are of my Grandma kneeling by the side of the bed, and I guess my memory is somewhat correct, her instructing me to kneel next to her, and we would pray together. And Grandma, she was born in 1889. And I remember Grandma telling a story that she came over. She was born in Alsace-Lorraine. She came to America in 1895. And in coming over, they didn't have too much in the way of communications, and the ship ran into heavy seas. And I remember saying in 1895 when she came over, there was such sharp weather that she used to roll from side to side. She was 6 years old. And she remembered people laughing at this little girl rolling with the waves from side to side of the ship. She also told me she saw something she wasn't supposed to see that day, or during that voyage, that another little girl had died en route to America, and the little girl was buried at sea. I remember her saying, at least from my foggy memory here, that she wasn't supposed to see that. Now, how she got to see it, I don't know, as that little girl was slipped into the ocean as the ship made its way to America. But time went on, and she had children, and then her children had children, which I am proof. But I remember growing up, and the time came when I was in the American Navy and I had to go, and my father took me to the airport, and Grandma was in the car, and she wouldn't get out of the car to see me off at the airport as I was flying away. And I remember her just weeping in the seat of the car there, and she was crying and saying, "I'll never see him again." And she never did. It was the last time I had seen Grandma there. And I just look back, I think 1889, she came over in 1895. I remember Grandma getting older and older, and she was like the last leaf on the tree, so to speak, in autumn when the leaves come down. There's just one little leaf or two hanging on the end of the branches there. Her friends were gone, her older family was gone, and she was just left and getting lonelier, and then she passed on at 87. And here we are today. Truly, the people are grass. And the glory of man is as the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I just was out of curiosity. I looked up on Wikipedia. And I saw that the oldest registered, I guess, one that they can prove, person that's alive today, was born in 1896. On record, there's no one alive today that goes past 1896. So there's no one alive today who was born the year my grandma was born. There's no one alive today who was on that voyage or alive when she took the ship over. And one generation rises and goes, another generation rises and goes, and truly the people are grass. And Peter tells us here that the glory of man is as the flower that withers and dies and is cut down, if I can word it like that. Someone has said that when the Lord Jesus was tempted and Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world in that moment of time. Now, I don't know whether the evil one was able to show the Lord all the kingdoms down through the ages, or if they were just the kingdoms that were there present at that time. But if it was just the kingdoms that were there present at that time, to find the glory of those kingdoms, that whatever it was that the Lord Jesus had seen then and there, you need a shovel to find it today. You might need to go to the British Museum or somewhere else where they've been scratching and digging through the dust. Whatever at one time was glory and was full of the pride of man, you now need a shovel to take it out of the dirt, because the glory of man fades. But Peter doesn't leave us in a hopeless state here, that we're just grass, that just like last year's cuttings, when you mowed the lawn, you just gather up the clippings and you toss it out and they've disappeared forever, such as from one generation to another. It can be quite depressing. But Peter directs our hearts and our eyes to something that gives us hope, something that is abiding, something that is real, that is not passing away, that is incorruptible. He tells us it's the Word of God that endures forever. And in verse 25, telling us here, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the Word which by the Gospel was preached to you. Now this is the Word which by the Gospel was preached to you. We know the Gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Maybe I should say that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, the Gospel. There was a time when I was in Shannon, and I was there for a few years in the Shannon church, and there was a lady that some of the folks in the church knew, and she was a staunch Catholic. Now, remember, I told you I was raised Catholic. I've made 5 of the 7 sacraments, so if there's a visitor here today, I don't want you to think I'm Catholic bashing. These are my folk. This is where I came from. But that there was a lady in the town that was a strong Catholic. Now, I guess most of us know there are Catholics, and there are Catholics. You know, there's ones that really are devoted to the teachings of the church. And such was this lady, and she was a friend of some of the people. And over the course of time, they invited her to come to one of our meetings. And if I again remember right, time kind of clouds my memory a bit, but maybe I got a phone call from her, and she was very stiff, very stern with me on the phone, if I remember clearly. But she wanted to know that she was going to come and visit, that she was going to be with us during this service. But in effect, she didn't want me to even try to convert her. She wanted to be left alone. She wanted to come, see the service, see what it was about, but she wanted to be left alone, if I could word it like that. And I said, okay. And just hung up the phone. And then that evening, she came along. And I remember before she went into the room, she said something like, "And do you know where we stand?" I said, okay. So she went in, and I don't even remember what the message was that night, what had happened. But afterwards, I went out to the back of the church, the table there by the door, and she came out of the service and was getting ready to leave. And she was quite softened. Whatever it was she heard, it had an impression upon her. And I guess she didn't feel threatened or that she was going to be a target. And I guess just in passing, I thought I would give her something from the table that we had. And all it was these John 3:16 posters. And funny enough, if that's the right word, it's from a ministry called Seed Sowers. And it's just a John 3:16, sort of in a decorative poster here. And we would just hand these out to people. And as the lady was going, I just wanted to give her something on the way out. And so I said, "Oh, would you like one of these?" And she saw it, and she said, "Yeah." And she took it, the John 3:16, and went home. And I didn't think too much about it again. And it may have been about 2 weeks or so that I got a phone call. I was sitting at my desk, and it was the lady. And again, I can't remember the exact words, But she called and she told me that she was saved. I'm holding the thought of, whoa, I was ye of little faith. I said, what do you mean you're saved? Or whatever I said. And she told me this, that, and I was still very skeptical. So I said, called her name, and I said, if you were to die right now, where would you go? And she said, heaven. I said, why? She said, because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Again, from my foggy memory, if I can kind of distill it like that. And she said something to me like, Brian, I took that verse and it was just laying on my table or wherever it was that she put it. And she said, for 2 weeks, I couldn't take my eyes off it. And it just drove her to the Lord, as she just saw the words of that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you remember I told you that God's word is not something that's static, dry letters on the page there, but it's living, but it's active, and it's sharper than two-edged sword. And the Spirit of God took this verse and with the sword of the Spirit pierced her heart, and she received the implanted word that was able to save her soul. And I remember it was some time after that she asked to be baptized, and there was a little rock or a lake somewhere, and she wanted to go and be baptized, and we all went out there, and it was it's a wonderful memory that I have of the ministry here in Ireland. And what I like about that little testimony to the Lord's grace in her life is not that wasn't my apologetics, it wasn't my charismatic magnetism that brought her to faith. It wasn't anything. I don't even remember what the message was that night, but it was that little John 3:16 that she couldn't take her eyes off of, and the Spirit of God took that to her heart. And as James would say, that with meekness she received the implanted word that was able to save her soul. Now I'll just close with this one little thought here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 25, it says, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Now as we read this, our minds are liable to be prejudiced that the to you is the audience that Peter had directed his epistle or his letter to. And that is true. But it's also just as much true that now this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you, is to you seated here this morning. Not only to those so long ago, not just to those of the mass of humanity, the you as in plural, but to you personally. And I'll just close with this little story of my son Benjamin. I call it the son of my old age. The Lord gave him to us when I was 45. I'm 57 now. Brethren, pray for us. But remember when he was a little boy, he was maybe 3 years old or so, in Shannon, and the powers that be decided to build a playground in the little town of Shannon. And it was he was three or five, I forget now. But oh, they were so long in building this playground. They set out the property, I guess they were putting out the fences and the frames for the swings and the rope climbing and the seesaws or whatever they were. Oh, it was such a long, we would drive by, is it ready yet? No, we would go by, or maybe another little portion being built. Is it ready yet? No, it seemed to take so long, but finally the day arrived. The playground was put together, all the different apparatus or whatever was in place, and the gates were about to be open. And I remember my little Benjamin saying, when it was all done, or somewhere about that time with the playground, that little boy said, they built that for me. They built that for me. He took it personal, that whoever they did and whoever was building and all that equipment, they did that for me. And this is the word of the gospel that is preached to you. Jesus did this for you. He died on that cross for your sin. He was buried and he was raised from the dead the third day to justify you, because God loves you this morning. And Father, we thank you for your word that endures, that all about us is perishing and is as grass withering and dying. We thank you, Father, for the word of the Lord that is incorruptible, that is living, that is eternal and endures forever. And I pray, Father, today that by your Spirit you would take the things of God and indeed implant them into our hearts today. And we would not leave the seed behind, but it would be mixed with faith, Lord, and that your blessing would be upon your word in our hearts this morning. Through the Lord Jesus we ask. Amen.